Hello, dreamers. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And this is the Course of Course, episode 47.
Yeehaw.
We're almost to 50.
Wow.
We're like closer to 50 than I thought we would ever get.
Luckily, we're not 50 years old.
Thank goodness we're so much more youthful than that. So everyone, hello. It's been a while. It's good to be back on mic. So let's talk about some fun, exciting things that have happened in our life.
I've been combating fleas.
That's exciting.
And what do fleas mean? Actually, it's not so much the fleas, because I've only had one dead on my face that I woke up to, and then one that jumped on my leg.
Let's take a step back. You found a dead flea on your face.
Yeah, when I woke up in the morning.
Are you sure it was dead?
It seemed smushed. I mean, it wasn't
moving. Okay. So you smushed it against your pillow, not realizing.
Yes.
Huh, all right then. So you took care of the problem.
Yeah, I just put it in the sink.
It was all done.
And I don't even have animals.
I thought these were flea eggs that you see, not necessarily flea.
No, it's just the little black specks.
I see.
But it's been driving me crazy.
Well, you're a clean freak, I would say. So I can imagine you going a little nuts.
And the fact that I've only had one live flea and one dead flea, but tons of flea poop everywhere, it doesn't match up. So I keep looking for where are the fleas then? They've got to be somewhere.
Well, did you start itching?
No, but I don't like seeing little black specks over.
I don't blame you.
My comforter, my bathroom sink.
Yeah, that's not
coming
good.
Coming off my towels. Like, where is all this happening? So the feral cats at work, I'm pretty sure I've transported it into the car, into my apartment, into my bed. Like, so I did 20 loads of laundry and got the toxic chemicals and put it on the carpet and left it and vacuumed it. And I keep talking to people and basically, I think it's been an ego distraction to, of course, keep me separate from God. But I feel like I'm a little bit lighter and I'm getting more power over creating light in my life, that the black specks are just the darkness of the ego trying to infiltrate my lightness. So,
wow.
It was pretty ugh.
Well,
like,
my dear,
blast it with light.
Departed cat Andy was a bit of a roamer, so he would go and have adventures and then come home. And I had the same problem with him. He had so many bugs in his rug that I had to keep combing them out, and I was seeing all that black stuff around. So I had to constantly flea bomb, and it was a chore. So I can completely understand. My current cat is so clean. She's the cleanest cat, I think, on the planet, and I haven't had any problems with her.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. It's nice to have clean animals around.
Yeah.
My cat is probably cleaner than me.
I don't even have any animals.
That's right. You have no animals and you had a flea infestation in your home.
I got them home. Mm. You know, and then I think, oh, maybe it's just dirt from the garden or maybe whatever. But it's been messing with my mind.
Interesting. So the fleas really got to you.
They really got to me. Well, when you have to spend your whole weekend doing laundry and trying to toxically kill everything, and then once I put the powder down, I realized I have to walk on these carpets. Like, I never wear shoes, so now I have to wear socks.
I'm not a big fan of carpets, even though I have them, because carpets trap all kinds of stuff and you have to constantly vacuum, which I don't really do as much as I should. That's why I'm a big fan of hardwood floors, because at least you can see what's down there.
I do vacuum usually every couple weeks just because of the hay and the dirt.
You never know, right?
But today when I was at the vet again with the cat, because he's been sick, they said, well, that's flea dirt. The best way to get rid of it is to steam clean your carpets.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I'll have to do.
Yeah, heat. I mean, you can get powder. I'm sure this is fascinating for listeners, by the way.
Yeah, well, maybe you guys have some suggestions. You can tell us how to get rid of it.
Yeah, we'll take your suggestions on fleas. I'm sure many people have pets, and it's not just cats that get them. Dogs get them, too.
But just that ego distraction that's trying to spin me out, because every time I see it, my reaction is, ugh! Gosh darn, freaking, blah, bitty, blah.
Right, now you have to focus on something else as opposed to focusing on you kind of transcending
their
dimension. Yeah.
Yeah, I get angry.
I think there's so much distraction in our life. And this third dimension we were talking about, it's not fun. It just isn't. And we have to endure it. And there are some moments that are lovely and fantastic. But at least in my experience, there are more moments that aren't lovely and not something that I would want to relive. And this is just one of them. It's a small one, fleas. But I think if you look at our lives in general, there is a lot of stuff that isn't very pretty that we just have to constantly forgive, like work situation or drama in our personal life or financial issues, that kind of stuff, or the mundane oh, my cat's dragging in fleas and dirt and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's always something. The ego is always doing something.
I don't like it.
I don't either. We had said in earlier podcasts that we sort of looked at the ego as kind of like the devil. I think it is.
It is. And then it's like I created it.
Well, since we last podcasted, there have been a few kind of high-profile deaths. Prince has died. And who else? This is what happens when we get older. We can't remember. But anyway, you know, people say, oh, it's so sad. What a tragedy. I don't know if I have the course to thank or blame. But for me, it was like, good on you, Prince. Way to wake up, fella. But I can't say that out loud because everybody's like, oh, it's so sad. We've lost a great. Okay. But you never really lost a great because we're not really here anyway.
Yeah.
No one's lost.
Yeah. The physical world, how the ego wants to make everything real. And in a sense, we believe it because we're here. We're in a body. We've bought into somehow this non-real dream, and just all the weird stuff that happens is just weird.
Well, thank goodness for the Gary Renard books, because he kind of really drove home the fact that the script is already written, but yet it's easy to forget that. Mm-hmm. So when things are sort of going south for me and I'm having a bad day, I always have to remember, look, the script is written. I have the choice to look at it in a different way. I can do that every time. I don't always remember that part of it, but I can. So if the script is written, what's the point of pushing against it?
Right.
Of thinking that we can make something happen. When we were really into the Abraham Hicks material, which, you know, was lovely, but a lot of it was, oh, yeah, you can create your reality. Yeah, okay. Oh, okay, I get that to some extent, but I sort of have been moving through this period in my life where it's like there's I don't feel a need to, okay, I'm going to create this. This is all going to happen. I kind of feel like it's a much more passive way for me to get through life than it was in the past. Which
like
is
non-attachment in a way?
Well, I think my ego was no so huge that my ego plays a part in me thinking that I can affect my reality, that I can change things, like I can make it happen, witchcraft, whatever. In the past, I used to think, oh, yeah, I have some sort of control. I know the only control I truly have is just look at it in a different way. I think the course talks about just be a passerby, and I'm trying to do that more. It's not always easy because I'm still in a slightly volatile work environment, although I think it is getting better. That pulls me out of it. So for me, it's just constantly remembering. I have been kind of working with a friend of mine who is going through a period of unemployment, and hopefully she's going to find gainful employment soon, and I think that's around the corner. But kind of watching her go through that and hearing her say the things that I have so often said, that, oh yeah, I'm going to conjure this up. I'm going to create a new reality. It's interesting, the way I'm looking at things now doesn't really align with that anymore. Mm-hmm. Not that it's bad, but it's just not my thing. I used to truly believe that I could control from my ego mind stuff that's happening in my life. Now I'm much more passive with that. I used to, and I don't know if you still do this, but I used to all the time. When I would drive to work, I would say this mantra that, you know, I'm protected and safe on my way to work. I just stopped doing it because I recognize that it's an ego device. To me, it's kind of like, okay, it's not like I'm saying I'm open to something bad happening. I think for me, it's more like, all right, well, I have enough faith, I think, now that I don't have to do the mantra. Because the mantra part of me was feeling like I was afraid, there was fear, and I needed to say it, kind of like as a superstition, or something might happen. You know, it was definitely fear-based and ego-based. Mm-hmm. I just stopped doing that. Mm-hmm. It's like putting my faith in whatever my path is and whatever my script is written.
Yeah, one of my latest mantras or post-its is, see this moment with God. And then the second one is, go with grace. I'm trying to imagine in the moment whatever's happening, that I can just switch scripts, switch who I'm seeing it with, whether it's work or whatever, and then in it, go through it gracefully.
That makes sense.
It's been helpful. I felt like I was doing pretty good until like the so-called flea outbreak, and then I just went nuts.
I like go with grace. I like that a lot. It's such a simple and lovely message, because I don't think we talk about grace enough, kind of inviting that into our life. It's a lovely sentiment. I should probably start doing that. I mean, if I want to do mantras, they might as well make sense.
Yeah, like kind of coarse-based ones.
Yeah, as opposed to please protect me and surround me with white light. Although it's a lovely concept.
Yeah.
I just think it was more for me, and I'm just speaking for me, was more from a fear than it really was from kind of like a love and appreciation.
Whenever I take a road trip, I do that little scenario. Not every day.
Well, also to protect, when we're together, police intervention. Please.
Luckily, they were there when I got the flat tire.
Yeah, it's always helpful to have people like police and others to assist when we're damsels in distress.
Well, the whole thing about belief and like the course, they were saying that it's about helping us wake up that this is unbelievable because the ego makes it real. And I've just kind of been playing in that too, of just imagining like, don't give, if things are not happening, however, then just let it go. See it with God. It is scripted. Don't necessarily believe that I can control it or that there's supposed to be some certain outcome. Just try and be more in the moment. See this moment with God. And just be in the moment with grace.
We are both very highly educated, kind of A-type personalities. And I think for me, having that ego and wanting to be in control is like second nature. Mm-hmm. I just want to take care of everything and control everything. And one of the nice things the course has done, I think for both of us, is we've relaxed a lot with that. Mm-hmm. We don't need to control outcome as much. When we're at a work environment, we're both in a situation where stuff needs to get done. Yeah. And we're so good at what we do that we make things happen. But sometimes it just isn't in the cards for whatever reason. So it's like remembering, okay, it's not going to happen today. Or this person is not going to show up when we need them to show up. I think if the course wasn't in my life, I would not be in that space. I know I wouldn't, actually. Mm-hmm. I would still be in my ego mind. And believe me, my ego mind is still very much in control of me at times. Probably more so than not. But it's definitely getting a little better for me. It's hard, though, because part of me gets kind of mad at myself when I have a realization, like, what are you doing? Haven't you learned this? Today I was sharing that I was walking home from getting coffee and I was having a little argument with myself, like, is this how far we've come that this stuff keeps showing up for you? You know what I mean? Like lecturing myself. Get a grip.
I think we're hardest on ourselves, and
I feel like I should know better by now. Intellectually, I do.
It's that forget, remember, forget, remember, forget, remember.
It's the peeling of the onion and having to keep peeling away the same onion skin.
I've been going to the Jackie Jones lectures on Tuesday nights here in LA. We've had three so far, but they've been very helpful. One of the things we were talking about last night was just, again, who are we seeing the script with? But it just kind of hit me on the head a little bit deeper about this is all coming from the mind. It's just all happening in the mind. And if we can shut down the eyes and not see the bodies and just imagine us all linked up through the mind and healing that unconscious guilt and that there is no separation, just remembering that it's happening at the level of the mind and that's where we need to go to for help and not trying to figure things out here. It was good to hear that again.
Yeah, that's good. I felt like one of my realizations is I keep casting different people in the role of villain at work. And I got really stuck on this, and I was really angry at this other guy because he was my villain du jour. And I was having an issue with this guy, and I'm like, you've got to stop doing this stuff. I mean, seriously. I can't keep casting different characters in the same role. It's starting to get really boring for me. Like, just stop it. You know, recast it or just shut down the play because this thing's ridiculous. Can't keep going on with this. But I do want to touch on what I mentioned in a previous podcast on my conscious uncoupling.
Oh, yes.
I want to talk about my progress with that.
Please.
I did have this conversation and things are actually kind of unfolding in an amazing way. I think traditionally when you're in a relationship and it's not working out, what we tend to do I sit that person down, let's just say typically, say, you know what, this isn't working out. I don't think we should see each other anymore, right? That's a typical thing. So it's like this very cold cut, we were together.
It's not you, it's me.
It's the same thing, right? It's just like very strong before we were together and at this moment we are no longer together, right? So it's like night and day. So in this one, and I think part of it was because my partner in this play wasn't really listening and didn't want to hear it, kept changing the subject. And I was starting to realize, okay, I was just going with it. Like, all right, I've said what I need to say. I can't control how someone's taking it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when we have these traditional breakups. It's like, no, you have to listen to what I have to say. Well, in this one, it's kind of like I said it. And I can't beat this person over the head and say, you need to listen to every word I say, because I'm really frustrated right now. I just kind of let it go. Let's see how this works. And the reality is the message sort of got across, but in such a gentler way than I had thought possible. We have maintained the relationship.
The friendship.
Yeah. It's like, wow, if I had only known, I could have done this in the past. Maybe I should start affecting my past from my present and redoing all that stuff. Because yeah. I don't think looking back, the way you break up with somebody is really all that loving. It's very ego. Like, this isn't working out for me, so see you later.
I never want to see you again.
Right. Don't call me.
Delete me out of
your phone.
Yeah.
Don't ever text me again. You know, it's like so...
Like a severage limb taken off the
body.
Yeah,
it's not necessary. Mm-hmm. You know? And I don't know if that whole interchange that we had was because I'm maturing or because he just didn't want to hear it. But whatever happened between the two of us, it was so smooth. And we still have a lovely relationship, actually. It's just not what it was. It's just reconstituted.
It's a different version.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be like a complete separation. This is the first time I feel really juiced about that.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So I think that whole concept of conscious uncoupling actually helped me consciously uncouple.
Congratulations.
Because the concept never entered into my brain before. So thank you, Gwyneth Paltrow. You've actually changed my life.
Awesome.
Well, I think it's also just seeing somebody else as an extension of God and a part of you and not like an enemy that you just want to get rid of.
Yes.
You know? Because I think when you're in a relationship and it gets to be really bad, there's a breakdown there. And you can't really blame the other person. If it's so bad like that, you're a participant in that drama. And I don't think I got that before. It's like you're in a relationship and you think, oh, he's a bad guy and he's not a very good boyfriend and whatever. It's like, come on. I mean, I have to take ownership here.
Yeah.
Not completely, but obviously I co-created this. In fact, I cast this person in that role anyway.
Right.
You know?
I know. Sometimes I wonder if we're even supposed to have partners. I mean, who's to say that we're not? Because, you know, Art and Imperza or Art and whatever, they're together in the future life. So they're clearly together. I just know I'm alone. Whatever. It's easier that way.
Well, you're currently not in a relationship. It doesn't mean you're alone.
Right.
You know.
But I've pretty much not had any this whole lifetime and not so sure I will in the future.
I've had enough. And let me tell you, I think you're fine.
I mean, I like my freedom. Mm-hmm. I like being able to think about my life and my spirituality.
I like the opportunity that has presented to me not having necessarily a partner, like a romantic partner, that allows me the space to follow kind of my growth in the course. I think being in relationships, it's very easy to get distracted and think about the other person. I know that sounds terrible. I was having this conversation with somebody at work last week because he was talking about his girlfriend was going to come over for the weekend and he was debating whether he was going to tell her that he could get tickets for RuPaul at some venue and she really likes RuPaul but he really doesn't want to go. And I said, why is this even a question? If you don't want to go, why are you even bothering? And he said, well, I want to show her that I'm not selfish. And in my mind, I thought, there is nothing wrong with that. Why do we get to a point where being selfish is a bad thing? There's nothing wrong with taking care of what you want to do.
Yeah, maybe if she came to him and said, hey, RuPaul's in town. You know how much I love him. Would you come with me to see him? But she didn't generate it, so she doesn't maybe even know. So why bring
it up? So I threw it out that maybe he was kind of like trying to manipulate the situation. He didn't want to go, but he was going to tell her. Yeah, he's going to be the hero of the story. It's like, what's really going on here? You know? And he couldn't
get sex afterwards.
Yeah, well, he couldn't get where I was coming from. He just thought that I was being ridiculous. Because I was like, well, what's wrong with being selfish? What's wrong with just you not mentioning it?
Yeah, sitting in your fat pants at home watching a movie
together. That's what I would do and eat Raisinets. Thank you very much, Mike Lemieux. I still have them. Mm-hmm. It's like the world's largest cache of Raisinets
in my
pantry. Yeah, which I eat them all the time.
We should have some afterwards.
Nothing better than a good Raisinet. They actually help you stay regular.
That's very important.
Another important thing that you've given me, Mike Lemieux. Clearing stuff out.
On many levels.
Yeah, so the whole conscious uncoupling thing has been a really lovely kind of
smooth
gift I didn't think I would ever give myself.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Hot diggity. It's like HSJ's just took care of it. You gave it to HSJ.
Yeah. HSJ is the best.
Really is.
The best.
And how it's like ever since I finished the workbook in December, and now I'm just kind of free form flowing, you know, how do I keep the course alive in my life without listening to the text for the 20th time, right, or DU audio for the 100th time, or the same go-tos, but I do because it helps. How do I keep it going, keep myself present to it? And I do have to do something every day. And I do try and meditate every day. And I find like certain sayings might stick with me. And so I'll just kind of focus on them for a little while.
My big thing lately, and I think this is a consequence of going to the Jackie Jones. I keep on saying Jackie
Laura
Jones. Mm-hmm. What would you call these, workshops? Or
she calls them lectures.
Lectures. Mm-hmm. So I was there not yesterday, but a couple weeks ago. And she had said, you know, how can I see this in a different way? So that's really stuck with me. I think that's the one thing I'm using a lot now. Mm-hmm. How can I see this in a different way? Because there are times when things are presented in front of us that aren't always that fun.
That's right.
It's like, okay, well, how do I see this in a different way? There's this gentleman at work that was a bit of a issue with me. And every once in a while, I run into this person. And I keep saying, all right, well, how can I see this in a different way? I'm not always successful. It's a nice mantra.
Yeah, I feel like work has been pretty crazy and busy and weekends. But I do feel a little bit more neutral emotionally to it. You know, it's just happening.
I think it's that detachment. It's like conscious detachment or something.
Love, going through it. Just do the best I can, and my best is good enough.
Not get too invested in it or outcome.
Because that ego just wants to make meaning and spin us and keep us separate from God.
Well, work environments are challenging only because we have to get jobs done. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have to get to that finish line, and there may be obstacles in our path. So that's where it becomes a little challenging. But it's like having the ability to be like, okay, well, how do I roll with this one? Because we still have to do some aspect of manipulation to get there, to finish up, to complete a report or whatever. I mean, it's still there.
Like there's a physical form to completing something because it's in the physical realm.
Yeah. For me, there's a huge aspect now of just kind of letting it unfold. But the other part of it is, well, I can let it unfold, but I still need to get this done by Friday at 4:00. You know, it's finding that balance.
And I'm trying to also invoke Holy Spirit. I got my taxes done, which was a miracle to get it done before the month of October. And I even got my return done on time, first time in my whole life, before April 15th. And what's even more freeing is that now I've paid off my entire debt, which is something I've...
And anyone who knows you knows that it's been a big monkey on your back, and now you can finally be free of it.
Yeah, it's a big, big accomplishment for me.
I think the other thing is attachment. I've been trying to work through attachment. I was back in Cincinnati last week, my hometown, and I was looking at properties, and I went through the whole real estate bidding on property and underwriting and loan and all that kind of stuff. So it's like having to go through that and then not get too attached at the same time. Mm-hmm. It was a fascinating kind of dance I had to dance.
Especially when you found something you liked and wanted.
Yeah, and then had to say, okay, well, I can't get too attached to this. Yeah, I don't need this. It was quite a journey for me. And as I'm getting older, or at least in this time frame, I'm learning that stuff I used to think was so important to me just isn't.
That's great.
I'm no longer all that interested in acquiring stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. And stuff, I mean, like new shoes or clothes, I could care. Like, I have no interest, zero interest. So accumulating stuff has definitely become
less important.
A part of my past that I no longer have to keep reactivating. So now it's just about, what do I need for today? It's like the debt thing, right? I think a lot of people get in debt because they get so attached to stuff that they keep buying in, or like an episode of Hoarders. But you get to a point where it's like, you don't need that because you know it doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like solidified ego. Like, what do I need that for? I was watching one of those housewives shows on TV, like Desperate Housewives or Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, I don't know. And they were talking about $10,000 purses. And I'm thinking, this is the most ridiculous thing. Why would anybody spend that kind of money on a purse? It makes zero sense. But I think when you get so into attachment and looking for people to think you're important because you have important things, man, are you too far down the road? Really kind of lost the way there. How can any of that matter in any way?
I guess for them it does matter. For me, it never has.
Yeah, it's just, oh, I definitely went through my period of that. Part of me is wondering if I'm kind of going through detachment and all this stuff because I feel like, well, you know, I might as well prepare myself to wake up. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't need all this stuff. I don't need to be attached to third dimension or any of that.
Yeah, disengaging.
Yeah, and even when these famous people pass away and people are like all sad and stuff, and I'm like, what? They woke up. Good for them. Well, you can't say that to just about anybody.
Definitely.
You would be seen as insensitive.
I was imagining myself returning to the beginning when the split happened and seeing this astronaut floating in space, like tied to the spaceship or something.
Like in that movie?
Yeah, in Gravity, and just kind of like floating in space. And it just clicked in me of somehow like getting back to the beginning.
This
I just
is what's tripping
get back
me up.
To the beginning.
So time doesn't exist.
The alpha.
But we've had these splits. So there's a split, and then they split, and then a bunch of different splits, which all implies some sort of linear time. That messes with my brain.
Or hologram.
Because everything is like time is instantaneous, it doesn't exist, all that kind of stuff. But yet I'm seeing all these quasi evidence of linear time,
mm-hmm.
which I get our brains can only see it that way, but it's still a little trippy for me. I have to keep stopping myself and going, okay, hold on. How does this really work in my brain? And sometimes I just give up because it's not worth it. Do I really need to know and truly understand the concept of time, even though in third dimension it's linear because our brains were sort of like nurtured to believe that? I also know outside of time and space doesn't exist. So it's mm-hmm. kind of like that weird dichotomy.
I think, again, it goes back to the ego makes up these set of rules that we believe. And because we believe it, it makes it so real. But if we can get that it's not believable, then we can somehow get back to God. Somehow we can be that astronaut just floating back to the beginning. I mean, not really an astronaut because that's not real. But
the other part of me that's kind of frustrated about this whole process of forgiveness is, I mean, clearly I get this intellectually. Get it. I read the material. I understand. It's the forgiveness part of it, the emotional, whatever you want to say, that is challenging. The idea of having to come back and do this again, even though I got it intellectually, kind of makes me mad. You know, when I have to go back through this again and relearn the intellectual part, which I kind of got now, it's just like, give me a break. Like, what can I do? I feel like back in the Middle Ages when they would pay for indulgences. So they would go to like the priest or whatever, and you give him like, I don't know, 20 gold coins. And the priest would say, okay, you can go to heaven.
Right.
I want that deal. 20 gold coins for going to heaven? I'll do it.
If only it was that easy.
I know.
To just buy our way up.
Wouldn't it be cool if we could just buy our way up? It's like, we're debt free. We should just be like, look, here's the situation. I got to say, I think for people in third dimension, debt is definitely an unfortunate aspect of it. And I hope people who are struggling with that understand that, man, it is just an ego thing and you can transcend that faster than you think.
Yeah, my only advice is if you're going to start a business, try and get other people to pay for it and don't use your own money. And certainly don't put it on a credit card.
That's true.
Because that's what I did. I started a bunch of side businesses. And
I think you were very generous with your funds and they weren't really reimbursable.
Yeah.
Is that the word?
I mean, they could have been, but there was no money coming in. But that's okay. That's how we learn.
Yeah, we learn and we move on, you know.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with debt. I just think if you feel that debt is too much to handle, then it's nice to not have to worry about it.
Well, I definitely felt trapped. Like, I have to stay in this job. I can't move because I need the paycheck to pay the debt. And now that that's paid off, now it's like I can start saving and think about what's next for me, because I definitely know it doesn't work for me. This isn't the experience I want to have. But I don't know what's next for me. And I don't even really care right now. I'm not going to worry about it. So,
yeah, I think money and debt and that kind of thing, it's just, to me, it's just another distraction of the ego, because we all, none of this is real anyway. It's just not real. Debt isn't real. You know, financial freedom isn't really real. Oh, we'd like to think it is, but it's not, you know.
Well, when you have a bill showing up in your mailbox every month.
Well, I know, but even when you don't have a bill coming through, it's still like not real anyway. It's like we put, our minds put like some sort of value on debt or non-debt, because debt can actually be very good. You can have debt to a house, nothing wrong with that. Debt to a car, debt can be good. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just how we look at it. And sometimes I think if there is quote unquote bad debt, I would say it'd be credit card debt, because I don't think you get anything from that.
No.
You know, it just costs a lot. But like student loan debt, that's actually, I think, could be a positive because you actually get intellectual property out of it. You get a degree in education. But credit card debt, generally speaking, I don't know if it's all that helpful.
Puts your band on the road so they can get seen and picked up and make a record and sell records. That's great.
It's all how it kind of is seen, you know? But it's just, maybe it's just because we're both from kind of middle-class, hardworking families, the idea of having a debt was just too much. Like, for me, it never felt good. I'm sure with you, it didn't feel good either.
I didn't even have a credit card until my late 30s. Mm. It was only within, like, a 5 or 6 year period that I racked up this.
Well, it becomes very easy to deal with credit cards and think it's like free money.
Well, in the Bush years, they were giving it out for free. I mean, I had someone from the bank call me and say, hey, you want $30,000?
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I remember going to the bank and making a deposit, and somebody at the bank said, well, you make a lot of money. I'll tell you what, I can get you in a house. That was right before everything fell apart. Remember when they were just kind of giving out loans?
Yeah, they sure were.
And something in my brain said, no. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew on a higher level, it was just kind of like smoke and mirrors and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I know a lot of people who, you know, it became an enticing idea because they might not have been able to do that before. I just think there's a lot of ego kind of preying on other ego during that time period.
Definitely. That's how the whole world seems to be.
Yeah. You know what? Money, power, and all that kind of stuff, it's just very dirty and yucky feeling.
Taking advantage of people, outsourcing jobs when they're supposed to be creating jobs.
Well, I saw that movie, The Big Short, that talked about, you know, the mortgage crisis and stuff, and it made me kind of sick after watching it because there was so much greed.
Well, seeing the John Oliver episode on Sunday about Puerto Rico and how they changed all the laws to screw them over so that they could make junk bonds to sell, so that they could then sell the junk bonds. And it was just a game. Like, it's all really just players at that level who can have the laws written so that they can have a financial gain. And to me, that's kind of evil. I mean, that's just not right.
But here's what confuses me is all these people taking advantage of each other. We're all aspects of God that have gone, like, too far away from the ranch. Like, how do we get back to seeing everybody as God and the Holy Spirit working through them when we look at them through the lenses of predators? And it's just unfortunate this landscape in this third dimension crazy planet allows us to see things in a far more sinister way than they are.
I know, it still gets me going where I just want to disengage completely and just go hide and live, you know, simply off the grid and just kind of do my own thing and have my own world and ignore the outside world because it's crazy and just be at peace. I don't know, is that really the way to go? I have no idea.
There's a part of me kind of in a dream. I would like to find a community of like-minded people and live out the remainder of the Janine experience in that space.
You mean like an intentional community?
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Just people who get the course, who enjoy it. But I also know that I need to work through some stuff before I get to that nirvana. Mm-hmm. Nirvana on Earth.
I like living on my own, and I wouldn't mind living in a smaller town like maybe where Mikey lives, where there's a lot of course people there, and they do have a community, but they're not living in community.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to live in a community with, you know, a building with a bunch of people in it. That's not me, you know. Okay. I like my privacy.
Yeah.
Me and my cat. my non-flea-ridden cat.
You're so lucky.
So I think to wrap this one up, it's a matter of focusing on peace and creating an environment which we feel safe and definitely more spiritual. We're definitely, if you look back at our earlier podcasts, we're definitely on that trajectory. It's just a matter of remembering and staying centered and recognizing that it's all God, all around us. And when we do encounter something that feels like a bit of a hitch in our giddy up, it's an opportunity for us to stop and say, okay, what's really going on here? How can I look at this in a different way?
I came across this quote, to have peace, to teach peace, to learn it. And they were talking about when we're giving it away, we're actually getting it. And I don't know, just something clicked a little bit differently. But for me, it's all about peace. I just want peace of mind. I want the crazy to stop.
I completely agree. Listeners, we will be back in a week or two with the next episode of The Course of Course. And until then, peace out.